sit back, relax, and raise a glass. For spirits coming from the past, sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting wolves having a ball. Your favorite ghouls, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, crack open the can and fill to the top. Haunts and hearts, haunts and hearts, this is your podcast and it's called Haunts and Hearts.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. It's the podcast that covers all things paranormal while enjoying the true excellence of delicious craft beer. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. I'm Johnny LaQuasto. Find me at Jay Quasto on the socials. But let's get to the stars of the show. First up, she's a veteran paranormal investigator. She's been on Ghost Hunters. She's a lifelong paranormal investigator. So many experiences and a delicious beer in her hand that she just so eloquently cracked open. Find her at Ashley Trobe because she is none other than Ashley Trobe.
Hey, it's Ashley Trobe. How you doing?
You of 19 different cats now.
I don't know if you could hear him meowing. The littlest one was meowing that whole intro. And I was just like, oh no, like, is he going to meow the whole time? Which
we can only hope. It'd be the most adorable episode ever.
Hey, everybody, got a brand new cat. His name is Colin, and he is very loud, and he wants you to know that he is here for you, and he really loves the show.
And You know who else loves the show? Is a certified paranormal investigator and cryptozoologist. She's interacted with spirits since childhood. She can do it all. She's got a stand-up comedy show coming up right after this episode because she always be staying busy. Find her at Anastasia W on one platform, and I forget the other, but she's Anastasia Washington.
Hi, guys. Yeah, that's quite the intro. I'm just going to sip on this beer. I'm getting a cat tomorrow, so I can't do cat things yet.
Oh, it's the official cat day.
Costo, that means the next episode after this, you have to get a cat.
Oh, no, yes! This is not like a wedding where someone just walks up to you like, hey, you're next, and then you have to run away. That's no, I don't know.
No, really? We threw the bouquet. You caught it. Sorry.
But that's how I got this other cat. So yeah, they just walk up and they're like, it's your time. Yeah. Okay.
Oh boy. Wait, as a man, don't I catch the garter belt? Isn't that how that works?
Oh yeah. Sorry, forget.
Yeah.
I don't know how weddings are.
I've caught a few in my day and it was disturbing. Anyways. Oh. What are we drinking? Because we have a special guest coming up on the show. Bria Grant's here, which is going to be so much fun. But First things first, we got these drinks going on thanks to Tavor.
Johnny, how about you go first? You never go first.
Well, okay. Wow. This is going to be a tough one to follow. I'm just letting you know.
Damn. Never mind.
This is from the Hoppin' Frog Brewing Company in Akron, Ohio, home of LeBron James. Damn. It is the 34th anniversary repeat 3X American Imperial Brown Ale, clocking in at a wafty 15.6%.
Jeez, are you going to be dead today?
Well, you know.
I need to see.
It's not a large can. It's kind of served in like a Robitussin container because it's so strong.
That frog is like coming out of like a TV.
He's so cute and I love him.
All because of Tavor. And how about you, Ashley?
I am drinking, this is really fun. This is kind of local to where I am. It's from Los Angeles. It's Boomtown Brewery. And look at the gorgeous art on this can. It is nuts. It's called Brighter Days. It is a double hazy IPA. Who'd have thought? And it is, I thought about it all day. I thought about it all day as I was staring at beer, like, what am I going to do that Anastasia's not going to make fun of me for? But, you know, I didn't drink a Corona on the air. So, what are you going to do?
Did you hear Anastasia's future cat throwing up just now as you mentioned the double hazy?
It's really good at impressions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who knew?
What's the percentage on it?
It is 8.2. My plan is to be dead by the time that this episode is done because I have not eaten in hours.
All right, 8.2. That is a solid one. Anastasia, how are you going to follow that?
I mean, I'm probably not going to follow it well.
Because she has corona.
No, I don't. My alcohol by volume is 4.1% compared to all of yours. That's pretty puny.
So cute.
I know. But I am drinking McLeod Ales Brewing Company's Van Ice.
Mm. Wow. And,
it's Van Nuys, like Van Nuys, where they're from. And McLeod was gracious enough to give me a whole bunch of free beer. So I'm drinking it. And it's a good party beer. It's a good refreshing beer. You know?
I do love a good pun. So I'm for it. I'm really into that.
Very punny. Very, very punny. So I'm going to say it's a light beer. It's just like a good party beer when you're sitting out in the sun. I'll probably give it like a 3.2.
All right. Not bad at all. And if you want amazing beer, if you want good puns, if you want great cans, it's simple. Download Tavor. Download the app on your phone. They are sponsoring the show. We're so happy to have Tavor sponsoring the show, aren't we?
We are.
Very.
We're so happy.
And if you do sign up for Tavor, it's real simple. You can build your own virtual crate of beer over a certain period of time. They will send the beer right to your doorstep for one shipping fee. And if you want to get a discount by signing up with us, you will get $10 off your first order. Once you hit $20, you're going to get $10 automatically added. It's real simple. Go to Tavor, use the code HAUNTS10, HAUNTS10, and you get a discount. You can't beat that, ladies. You just can't.
You can't.
It's like getting a free and or one or two beers on us. Like, you get to drink with us. That's what it is. It's awesome.
Yeah, come drink along with us.
Come drink with us.
Come drink with us.
For 7 days. With that said, Rhea Grant's coming in soon. I think we got to bring her in. Shall we do so?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Anastasia, I will let you give her a grand introduction. So go right ahead.
The grand introduction. That's exactly. That's it. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Rhea Grant has been one of my friends for years. I've gotten naked at her house. I've been on her podcast, Mystic Party. Let's just go into it. She's in like all these amazing horror movies. She directs and writes amazing horror movies. She's a paranormal chick like me. So, Bria, thank you for being on the show.
Are we paranormal like in us? Like, are we ghosts? Are we like infected with ghosts?
I mean, I did see that movie. There was that movie about an STD ghost. So,
yeah. I was told by a woman on the streets of New York City around 2003 that I had something inside of me, and I'm just going to take her word for it. So,
well, you know, when you got ghosts in your blood, you do cocaine about it.
I'm sorry, what?
That's how you fix ghosts in your blood.
Who knew?
You didn't know that?
I just didn't. I'm so unaware of the situation.
I know a lot about ghosts and apparently enough about cocaine to say that those are very true. That is a fact.
Welcome to the show.
This is Ashley. She's an open book. And
she's like, I changed my mind. I'm logging off.
I have coworkers that are going to watch the show later and be like, we don't like her at work anymore. We don't want to listen to her show.
Amazing. Well, Bria, first off, congratulations on everything. I mean, granted, quarantine has been different for everybody. And obviously, both of your movies didn't quite get to where you expected them to in the literal sense. But in the virtual sense, it appears that Lucky and 12-Hour Shift are both killing it, right?
What do you mean by killing it? Lucky was set to premiere South By and 12-Hour Shift was set to premiere Tribeca, and both those were canceled. So, but they both got bought anyway, and both will be distributed. 12-Hour Shift actually comes out later this year and Lucky comes out next year. So yeah, we're doing all right.
That's great. I mean, considering you didn't get to put those into the festivals, that's still amazing.
Yeah, we're doing some virtual festivals in August. So, like, now the festivals are doing, like, geo-blocked. Like, we're doing a Canadian one and a British one, Fantasia Fest and Fright Fest. And, like, you can watch the movies, but only if you're in Canada or the UK.
Whoa. Yeah.
Are you?
I could be.
I don't know anything about the internet, but I think there's probably some way to, like, fake that, isn't there?
There is. Fake being a Canadian. A boot.
There you go. There you go. And like, say you like maple syrup and ketchup.
Maple syrup. Sorry. Maybe I can't be Canadian. Never mind. I take it back.
You're really bad at this.
Now, I know Lucky and 12-Hour Shift both definitely have horror elements to it. 12-Hour Shift is more of kind of, I guess you could say, a dark comedy. But you wrote both of them and you directed 12-Hour Shift. Take us through that process, because I mean, we're all writers in a way, but to write a feature and get it made, what was it like? Is it you pitched it first and someone said yes, or you just said, the hell with it, I'm writing this thing and then I'm going to find a way? How did that work?
Well, first of all, do y'all know Anastasia's in Lucky?
Yes.
Okay. I did not know if you knew. Yes, she makes an appearance in Lucky, which is very exciting. No, I wrote them. I mean, I think the weird thing about indie film is that not only is there less money in making your movie, there's also very little development money. So I had written both of these over the course of a couple of years, and it just happened that I made them 3 weeks apart from each other. There was no rhyme or reason for that, except that they, Lucky actually, someone decided they were going to make that first. Epic Pictures, they read the script, they really liked it. They had a director they wanted to attach, Natasha Kermani. We started working with them, and I was doing rewrites for them. And at the same time, this company, HCT, had read 12-Hour Shift, and they decided to make that a little while afterwards. Weirdly, I shot 12-Hour Shift before, but it was only a three-week break in between them. Yeah.
She's a hustler.
You know what? I think there is like part of me that's like, will it all go away? I have to do as much as possible. So I when I had the opportunity to make both of them, I was like, well, why would I turn this down? I've been waiting to make these movies for years. So I did both back to back. And I directed before first. So I directed 12-Hour Shift, had a 3 week break, and then we made Lucky, which I starred in. And that was easier than going the opposite way, I think.
Was there a massive difference in budget? Because, you know, when you're making a film, you're kind of at the mercy of the money that you have. Was one production company way on board more so than the other, or did they all kind of work out equally a little bit?
It was both like indie film budgets. And yeah, I wish I could say one was so much better than the other. They were both lovely to work with, but it was both like on indie scales. So no, they ended up being about the same, made them for about the same. Under $1 million movies.
Sure. And I know, like we mentioned, they're both kind of in the horror genre, but would you say that's kind of your favorite genre? Because you've done everything. You've done mainstream, like whether it be Heroes or Friday Night Lights, but Lucky and 12-Hour Shift are a vast contrast from stuff like that.
Yes and no. I mean, it's all the same, right? Like, I mean, it's all just us trying to be artists and get what we really want to say out there. So, you know, even though the budgets may be different and the schedules are very different, I think like I learned to be on a film set in those situations. And I think those were really great lessons. I started Friday Night Lights is one of my first jobs ever. That was like such a great lesson in like how to behave on a set. And I definitely still draw from that now. But yeah, genre stuff, I'm drawn to genre stuff. I want to do genre stuff. It's hard to imagine doing things that's not genre. I mean, I love comedy as well. And like 12-Hour Shift is definitely a dark comedy.
Yeah, definitely.
But it has a heist element to it. Anastasia was also at the reading for that and my table read for that when I was still working it out. And it's like, it's funny, but it's dark at the same time. And it's about nurses selling organs on the black market. So
yeah.
Darkness there.
And as someone who was raised by a mom and dad who are nurses, I appreciate a film of a bunch of nurse hustlers. Trust
me. They're doing what they can to survive. It's it's a fun film. It's super. It's really fun.
I think you put comedy in everything you do because you're just a comedic. You're funny. You're a funny woman. So like, there's some comedic elements in everything you do. But I know that you also are drawn to genre films, and you have in the past done a podcast that was paranormal based. And I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. I know you guys don't do it anymore, but the funniest thing was the way that me and her met, where we were at this brunch and we were like, you know, like filmmakers and, you know, like female filmmakers empowering each other. And we're like, oh, let's just add each other on Facebook. And she's like, how do you know my brother?
Yeah,
I was at, I think it was Second City. maybe it was my Second City days.
Maybe my UCB days.
Maybe, and we were in the same class together, and they were doing a podcast at the time called Mystic Party. And I got to go on that one. And I believe I was a succubus trying to find love, but it was really hard to be a succubus that found love.
Right. We should write that as a script. That's
okay. I know, right? It's hard. It's hard as a succubus.
It really is hard being a succubus.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw it out there. I identify with this and I completely get it. So, you know, this feels very real to me. So thank you. Thank you.
I feel Ashley's very method.
Those are really funny to me. And I think we were trying to like capitalize on that. And then Zane's my brother, and we were both kind of playing characters of like, I was sort of like a dumb psychic and he was sort of a clueless like paranormal guy. And we would have people on try to solve their paranormal problems, and we'd always do a really bad job. So that was like the whole premise of the podcast. It was super fun.
Yeah, it was really fun to be on it. And I know you're doing other podcasts now, but so what draws you to like genre and paranormal stuff in general? Do you have personal stories of paranormal, or are you just always been curious about it?
I do have a couple of personal paranormal stories. I think what draws me to paranormal and like horror and fantasy and stuff is that like, that's like all the media I consume. Like I read books and watch movies and stuff for escapism. I think some people read books and stuff because they're trying to like ground themselves or like learn something, and I'm trying to learn something, but I'm definitely trying to escape the like boringness of my life. And I think like where I grew up, I was really bored with where I was. And so I think I'm just like drawn to that kind of stuff. I also think like horror and paranormal and fantasy stuff is like, you can just talk about bigger issues without like, you know, hitting the nail on the head, if that makes sense. Like, I think that kind of stuff I realized really early in reading comics, where I was like, oh, you can, you know, have a character who's like a trans character in comics and no one questions that this person's a trans character. And so you can kind of like get these like political messages in without it just being about this person's life. It can also be about like zombies or something.
Right.
I have a couple of paranormal stories.
I heard that you may or may not have grown up in a very old haunted house.
That's right. It was a very old house. Weirdly, my brother pointed out to me the other day that I have bought a house in LA that is also a weird old house. And he's like, you basically just bought the house we grew up in Marshall. But yeah, it was a really old, like 100-year-old house. Oh, there's a kitten.
Sorry, my chair. He's new. This is the first episode that he's been around, and he is causing chaos in my house. This is Colin. Hello, Colin.
Colin. Hey,
and he really wants to be a part of this. And so he's panicking, and I'm trying to get him to go on the bed. It's not
I have a chaos maker in my house. And guess who's getting that chaos maker tomorrow?
Me. I didn't know that you were adopting from. Okay. This makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. Makes so much sense.
I've picked the name and everything.
What's the name going to be?
Zora. Oh, after the author.
Yeah, he's named after Colin Robinson from What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, and I love that.
Because he drains my energy in every way, because he is so exhausting as a kitten. He's tearing up the house right now. It's terrible.
That welcome to that, Anastasia, because tomorrow that will be your life. I have to drop that kitten off to get spayed at 6 a.m. tomorrow. So.
Oh, no. Sorry.
Anyway, yes, I grew up in a haunted house. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I'm like trying to get him to stop, and he's, okay. Let's hear this.
I don't know what I have to say about it, except that it was a really old house, and I would like hear stuff, especially as I got older. I'd hear like people running up and down the stairs, and someone did die there. So like it has that aspect of it. And I don't know. I'd hear people running up and down the stairs when I was sleeping at night. Sometimes people would whisper stuff in my ear. But this is what's so weird about it. It wasn't scary.
So a bit of a residual haunt. And then whoever may have died in the house, it obviously wasn't a violent death. It was just that they happened to enjoy the house. Maybe it's got a great insulation. Maybe it's got a comfortable couch. And they're just hanging around.
This house has AC. I'm safe.
Yeah. It didn't seem malicious. It just felt like we were kind of like living there at the same time. I say all of this while acknowledging that I don't really believe in ghosts, which is really strange, I realize.
Ooh.
I don't think that's strange. I feel like so many people experience something that they can't explain. And that's still that paranormal aspect. It doesn't mean that you're a believer. I know plenty of paranormal investigators that have had experiences that are still skeptics, that have had really legitimate experiences where they're like, well, I still don't know, but I still don't believe. And so I don't think it's that weird at all.
No. But do you believe in any like cryptos? Like, do you believe in Bigfoot? Do you believe in like Loch Ness? Do you believe in aliens?
I think we would be dumb to not believe in aliens. I think it would be very self-centered as humans to think like we are the only people who exist in the entire vastness of the universe. Like yeah. That would be.
That's what's so funny though. It's like we all feel that way. Like, okay, everyone I know is always just like, of course I believe in aliens. Like, of course that's just a thing. But then they hear things like Bigfoot and they're just like, that can't exist. Even though we're discovering new animals all the time. Like the crested eyelash gecko was thought to be extinct for years and years and years until the 80s, where there was a big tsunami or storm or something where they all washed up on shore again. And they were thought to be gone forever, and suddenly here they are back again. It's always so interesting, though, because I love hearing people say aliens have to exist, but none of this other stuff can.
Well, I guess if you told me Bigfoot lived in some place that was not available to humans, like, for example, if you were like, Bigfoot lives in the bottom of the ocean, right. I would be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, there's a lot of room down there that I don't know what's there. But like, you're like, Bigfoot lives in like the Ozarks. I'm like, that we've been there. Not recently, but someone has. And so that's when it gets to me a little more like, I get a little bit more skeptical for sure.
Right.
I would be stoked to see Bigfoot. Like if you were like, here's the proof, like, and you showed me a Bigfoot, I would be a Bigfoot. Is that what you missed your Bigfoot?
Sure.
If Bigfoot showed up at my door, I would not question it.
No. You're close enough to Silver Lake that a Bigfoot will knock on your door one day.
That might just be a hippie.
Yeah, it's just a hippie. Yeah.
I know Silver Lake. That sounds like that might just be the residents of Silver Lake.
Yeah. He's an alternative comic who never leaves a 3-mile radius, actually. Well, speaking of aliens that we just briefly discussed, we like to do a segment on the show every week called Supernatural Scoop, and we happen to have an alien story, so would you care to join us for this week's Supernatural Scoop?
Yeah.
Here we go. Seven days. All right. So a couple of weeks ago, it basically came out that the government said, hey, we're going to reveal UFO findings. We're going to make them public. We have an amazing quote here from Luis Elizondo, who was formerly of the DOD. He's an intelligence officer. He was also part of a show on the History Channel with Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. He went public even more so and put out a couple of quotes here. Just want to get your guys' thoughts on a couple of his quotes here. He said, am I surprised that the government acknowledged the validity and the veracity of these videos? Not at all. It was a matter of time. They didn't have a choice because ultimately the paper trail goes back to the authenticity of these videos. And anybody who does a little bit of research will recognize that they are real.
I mean,
aliens. Yo.
When you say research, doing a little bit of research, like, are you doing a little bit of Googling or like trial and error, actual testing research?
Wait, you can just Google if a video is real? I don't think that's a real thing.
But they call that this video? Modern day research.
That's my research.
You're
really, well, he goes further. He says, I knew they were genuine, and there's a lot more that the Pentagon currently has, which unfortunately remain highly classified. It's truly a historical moment when you have the U.S. government and multiple agencies in the organization coming forward and saying the videos are not only real, but they are truly unidentified aerial phenomena. And he also, speaking of being skeptics, he does cite the need for healthy skepticism when dealing with the subject of UFOs, although he did describe them as anomalous. He says healthy skepticism is important. And I think that's kind of the approach that most of us take when it comes to even doing this show. Clearly, we wouldn't do it if we didn't think there were things out there that we can't explain. But at the same time, you have to always look for a reason to say no.
And what was actually, do y'all know what was released? They haven't released it yet, right? What they're going to release?
We've only seen like the one video so far, right? Just like the one initial video of the UFO that they couldn't explain. I don't think we've seen anything else yet.
Which is crazy because that video was on that History Channel show that aired in 2019. the government finally said, yeah, that was real. Air Force doesn't know what the deal is. Or maybe it was Navy pilots. I forget. But yeah, all they said was that there were, quote, off-world vehicles.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what I would like is I need a video of what's I want to see what the aliens look like themselves. Like that's my, because I think it's like we have all these representations in on TV and in movies, and it's not going to be what we plan on it being. I think what we've imagined is so wrong, probably.
Yeah, but if they're not like Attack on Mars, I don't
if they're not Attack on Mars, you're not going to talk to the alien.
Have you guys seen Popstar, yeah. Is that the movie? Where he's just like, yes. 30 seconds to Mars, like 10 seconds, that's a third of the way to Mars.
I haven't seen the movie, but I was in the movie briefly, so.
What? When?
In the concert scene. I was one of those girls that's like, oh!
I'm going to look for you now, because I own that movie now.
I was a better actor then, I don't know.
It's a really well done parody. I love a good parody movie, and it is well done.
It's
fine.
But I think of that 30 seconds to Mars clip all the time.
How much are they really going to come forward with? Because they realize that we're already in a panic society to begin with. Mm.
They're not going to come forward with all of it. They can't.
I guess just nowadays they can't sit on that much stuff because people have ways of doing things that they didn't have in the past to like get things leaked and get things, whatever.
They have ways
this is of hacking.
Area 51.
Like Googling. I can Google anything. So yeah.
I mean, a lot of people think the government have been sitting on things since 1947. I mean,
right.
The more you look into Roswell, the more you have all the firsthand accounts. Most of them are dead now, but we have all the quotes from people like Walter Hout and stuff like that who say they give an exact account of what they look like and what he saw. And high-ranking government officials generally tell the truth when they talk, supposed to be.
I mean, does it seem like we would have more? Because we obviously know of that, but I feel like because technology has advanced so far, we would actually have better stuff from more recent times, but it would be easier to hide it because it's been around not quite as long since. So like, if they release Roswell, I think we're all kind of prepared for that. I think if they released something that happened like last year, we would be like, oh no. Like it would, we all might lose it. We might riot.
Right.
Like, I don't know that I trust this. Like, I get it. Like, I don't know if I trust society so much with information. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I want to know. I'm not going to say I don't want to know because I want to know, but I don't know if I trust everybody to know.
I don't trust everybody to know. If we can't wear masks every day, I don't trust anybody for anything else otherwise, because that is the most minimum thing you can do. So,
yeah.
How cool would it be if the government said, all right, you are now required to wear masks, but they have to be alien masks. And we all just walk around wearing the typical rubber alien mask. That's protective at least.
Wait, can I at least like, can I do like a xenomorph mask though? Like
obviously.
When I speak, my little mouth comes out to like, I'm just saying.
I feel like this year's been so crazy. If they came out and they're like, aliens are real and they're living among us, we'd all be like, yeah, of course it's 2020. Like that makes sense.
Who cares? What do they look like though? Are they scary? I don't want to ever be abducted. You hear that? I don't ever want to be abducted. Don't take me to space. I am not going to space.
Yeah.
It's a good thing you put it out there because in LA, you never know. I'm currently in Florida. Yeah. No aliens are, they're not coming here.
They're not going
the
there.
The number one place they would come is Florida.
Yeah.
I feel like they would too because they would just take you and then they would plop you back down and people would be like, oh, they're crazy. They're just from Florida. And
could be why most people in Florida are crazy. There it is, you guys.
Honest to God, after being in Florida, like they can abduct me. It can't be much worse.
You going to Florida was shocking. You living in Florida is much more shocking.
I went for a very good reason. It's not like I said, hey, I want to move to Florida for the sights. No,
yes,
I moved
you did.
For a career move and the sights. Yes.
Why did you move to Florida?
Well, it's funny, Bria. We actually have a couple mutual connections. I work in the world of professional wrestling. And so I know David Arquette from the Indies and I know Mick Foley. I've opened for him doing stand-up, but also I know him because of working with WWE and stuff like that. Great guy. Both great guys, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
They're both wonderful in 12-Hour Shift coming out in October. Everyone should watch it.
Yes!
I was so excited to see. I mean, we all know Arquette is a good actor, veteran actor, but a lot of people don't realize Mick Foley can do everything. He's an author, a best-selling author. He's a legendary wrestler. He's a host. he's a storyteller, but I know he can act. And I was like, when I saw he was in your film, I said, oh, I'm in. I don't know what he's playing, but I'm in. I can't wait.
He just has like a cameo scene, but he's very mean in it. And he's very, which he's the nicest person in the world. So I was super glad we hired him to play this kind of like tough guy, mean role. Yeah. He does an amazing job. He was so lovely to work with. I will say like a testament to him, like, you know, we're in like a small town shooting. So people got wind that he was there and people just started coming to set, trying to get him to sign stuff. And he sat there and signed every single thing. Aww. He signed a box of books and he was so nice to everyone about it. And it just made me like, I was like, oh, like just seeing him do that. Cause like, I am a person who always is like, people, I don't know. Like, I'm always like, don't want to talk to people. And he's just so friendly and so nice. And it made me so happy to have him there.
I don't want to go off air without talking about your current podcast, which is all about books, all about reading. I know I'm a huge book nerd. Can you tell everyone a little bit about it and how they can help right now? Because I know there is a campaign going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called Reading Glasses. It's on Maximum Fun. That's our network. And we do like a traditional fun drive every year, kind of like an NPR fun drive. And so people can join. And for as little as $5 a month, and they get a bunch of bonus content, but also they help keep the studio running because y'all know podcasts are not that easy to do. We do a lot of like editing and someone puts them in a cloud or something. I don't know how it works, but like someone does a lot of work on it.
Mobile cloud thing.
Yeah, I don't, it lives with Jesus in heaven. I'm not sure. And then it beams down to your phone. Someone has to pay for that. And then Mallory O'Meara, who's a writer and my podcast partner, we work on it every week and we've been doing it for about 2 years. So we're in the middle of the fun drive, but also just listen to the podcast. It's really fun. Even if you don't read that much, I think it's actually something like anyone can listen to. If you like have even the most remote, if you've read a book once, you'll be able to listen to the podcast.
No, I know a couple people that have done that.
I've never read.
Never finished one book.
I am so competitive on Goodreads that I want myself to be like 20 books ahead of my end goal. And right now I'm at 19. That's how bad I am.
I don't know if we're friends on Goodreads.
We have to be friends on Goodreads. We have to change that because I'm reading like 8 books right now. That's how I am. I love it. But I know that one of the perks of the competition, or not the competition, the campaign rather, is having you read one of your favorite books, right? Something that you love?
Oh yeah, yeah. If we reach like, actually today we're trying to, we reach like a certain amount today, I think it's like 650 new members total. We've already written, we're about at 600 or something last I checked. I have to read Sense and Sensibility by Jane Austen. I super dislike Jane Austen. Do you like Jane Austen?
No. I like the zombie versions.
Yeah.
Wow. Because they have Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters. I think that was it. I'm like looking at my bookshelf to see if I can see it from here, but I can't. All I can see is true crime. It's like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Sense and Sensibility and Sea Monsters, I think it is.
I'm not looking forward to it. I don't love Jane Austen, but my podcast partner Mallory, we reached her goal already, and she has to read the Bible. She's never read the Bible before.
Well, you know, it's an interesting read.
I wish you could have seen Quasto's face.
I'm a pseudo Catholic, which means I don't go to church, but I still judge people. Anyways,
see, I always say I'm a recovering Catholic. We have so much in common.
Yeah. So wait, there's multiple. Which book of the Bible? All of them?
All of it.
Oh no.
We did like a little test run and she read Genesis and like did a little like essentially a book report on it. And she's never been to church. She was not raised in the church. I was raised Southern Baptist, so I've read the Bible at some point, all of it, multiple times, but she has never read it. And so she read Genesis and was like, this is what the Bible is, like shocked. And now she has to read it start to finish because we reached our goal.
Oh God, how long is it gonna take?
She's a really fast reader, so I think she'll be all right. But I also suggested she didn't read like the King James or anything, like read like a newer version. I think that'll help.
I have a Precious Moments version of the Bible if she would like to read that.
Is that like a Cliff's Notes version or something?
It's like the one they give to kids on their, you know, I think I got it for my first communion or something. Somebody gave it to me.
I will say like she read Genesis and was so shocked and appalled by the whole thing. She was like, a woman gets turned into a pillar of salt. Like, everything about it, she was just like completely could not handle. And so it will be funny to see what happens.
Well, yeah. What's really cool about your podcast too is you mentioned it's not just for avid readers. Like someone like me, God, I want to read more. I just can't find the time in the day. And you guys kind of cover that a little bit. I'm getting up there in age. I need to sleep now, Anastasia.
Nope, don't sleep.
But you and Mallory kind of cover that in a way. Like if you're not good at making time to read, you kind of discuss that whole thing too.
We do. We do a lot of that kind of stuff. We have whole episodes dedicated to that. But then we also get into other stuff like, let's say you don't have much money, like how to use the library. You know, you can get library books on your e-reader, like all sorts of things like that. We really delve into like making it really accessible, or like maybe you don't have time to read a full, like you don't have time to read a three, you know, giant fantasy series, three book series or something, but you may have time to read a novella, you know? And so we'll have like a whole episode where we just talk about like novellas or something like that. But then we also do like dorky stuff, like review book lights and tub trays. I just reviewed a tray that you put in your tub to read with.
Well, I love that though. So when I was a kid, there was Mathletes, and then where I went to school, there was whatever the book equivalent of Mathletes was, where you had to read as many books as family. That's the worst name, Anastasia. It's almost as bad as Mathletes.
Bookletics.
But it was the same thing. Like we would read as many books as humanly possible, and then we would go to state and we would compete on those books and we would give all of the details. And I was in that for years. That was my thing. I was obsessed with it. Like I have the gigantic bookcase next to me right now, and it's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books. So like that, you're sneaking.
You mean like that?
My heart. Oh. And then
the long boxes.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I just whipped out my books.
I know. Don't whip them out like that. You're speaking to my heart right now, because that's really important, because I know so many people that I know have been very adamant that it wasn't available to them and that they didn't have that accessibility that they needed or wanted. Like me in particular, I can't do audiobooks because I have ADHD and it messes with me, but I can read a book like no other, and it's backwards for some people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's so important, that accessibility, and to bring that up and to let people know that there are other ways to access this and to be a part of this. And I think most people don't think that's a thing. They're just like, oh, Barnes and Noble, I can't afford that. And they just cut it off there and never read a book again.
I think it's really good. It's a good time for readers, right? Because we have Libby, we have Overdrive, and I have all of them. I don't even remember. Hoopla. Those are all like book. You can get an ebook, or you can get an audiobook on some of the stuff. So, like, there's no excuse anymore, except for comic books. Comic books are a little bit more difficult.
The digital system. I will also say like it's a good time for readers because quarantine.
There's that, like, human connection is a no, so just read, right?
What's human connection?
I don't know.
I do have one final question regarding Reading Glasses, your podcast, and it's a very serious question. Have you covered the late 80s Pizza Hut program Book It? Because that means something to me.
No, go on. What is that?
You didn't have Book It growing up?
What? Where you would get the free kids meal?
You didn't have Book It?
What is it? Tell me what it is.
Oh, snap. Okay.
So Book It was an elementary reading program. And I think, well, I know Ashley is younger than Anastasia and I, which is fine. Yeah. We don't judge her for it. But
what?
There's a program when we were in elementary school by Pizza Hut that you would basically have like a punch card. And if you read a certain amount of books, you would get them marked off, I think, by your teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I was a fat kid. I lied that I read books, but whatever.
Oh, see, I never lied. I always got my teacher and I was like,
oh, no, not my fat ass.
This is my reference, by the way. I said, I never lied. I would have just done the work.
Yeah. I'm like, I have to do the work. Here it is. Someone asked me.
So once you filled up your card, you got to take it to Pizza Hut and you would get a free personal pan pizza for all of your hard work.
Mm-hmm. This sounds really familiar, and I feel like we should cover it, because if y'all all have like really fond memories of it. Now, Mallory will be too young for this because Mallory is 10 years younger than me. And I think I'm older than you, Anastasia, though.
Probably not by much.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're not older than me. Cheers.
I bet you I am older than you think I am.
I just want you guys to know, I looked it up. A Book It is still happening.
Is it? You know which other one I used to like is Chuck E. Cheese used to have this one where you would bring your report card, and depending on how many A's you got was how many tokens you got.
Oh, I never qualified for that. My report card was like B, B, D, 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 D. Like, it was awful.
That's because you had white parents.
What did you? And I was also very poor, so I never got cheese anyway.
Was the personal pan pizzas, were they like this big? Like, were they like the size of like your palm, essentially?
They were like slightly bigger.
They were just like regular. Like,
oh, Quasto and I, oh, well, you know.
We look ridiculous in the video, right?
This is the promo.
I remember it was very small.
We're all giving our own version of what a congestive heart failure looks like. That's what we're doing.
Because Pizza Hut had me at the book one, and then they also had me when they did the Rocketeer kids meal. Like, I went, and because they had like a Rocketeer cup. Ashley, Rocketeer was a movie.
Shut up. How young do you think I am?
I know how old you are.
Girl, we've been friends for too long for this kind of nonsense. But before we continue, I have to say, Scholastic Book Fair was the most important thing in the world to me. And I just really want to note that before we continue on to the next question.
And they still do it. My niece and nephew would bring it home, like, even like, you know, when I could go out and visit them. And so, and then I would sit there with them and I'd be like, you're getting this one, you're getting that one. And wait, it's not for me. It's for you.
I love to always get the like cat posters. That's why I would get Scholastic Book Fair.
I would get the little science kits, like the grow your own crystals.
Yeah, I would get a lot of books. I wasn't a poster person. I don't know why.
I would get the Goosebumps, and that's about it.
The Goosebumps, great one.
Well, Bria, before we move on to our phone call of the week, I want to ask, I know you mentioned you're a skeptic and you essentially, you don't say you believe in spirits or ghosts, but is there an aspect of the paranormal that you enjoy the most? Because obviously your writing style fits the paranormal genre really, really well. So there has to be an interest.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love the paranormal. I mean, ghosts are definitely like one of my favorite things. I love like taking our world and then kind of making something slightly different. Like I love like an alternate universe, like or alternate histories, like things like that. That's always super fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So every single week we feature a phone call from a listener featuring their paranormal experience. So right now we're going to play it and then we'll get your reaction. It's from a lovely lady named Candace.
Candace.
7 days.
7 days.
My fiance and I rented this apartment. We've been here for 2 years. They told us not to hang anything on the walls and we didn't listen. Everything has fallen off the walls at some point in the middle of the night. Frames, mirrors, everything. And one night I go to the bathroom and realize there's a man standing in the hallway. So I move around him, turn on the light, and go to the bathroom. And while I'm in the bathroom, the light blows out. And it takes us 6 months to change the light bulb. And it blows out again 2 days after we've changed it. So we've been living here for 2 years. Nothing really stays anywhere. A hook that was on the back of the door held by two screws has come completely off. So there's been multiple happenings with this man in the hallway. And then we get a cat this year and the cat notices there's something in the hallway. Like he will stare at the hallway. He'll meow in the hallway. Yeah, every once in a while, I'll stage the apartment to make myself feel safer, but he's still here. Love the podcast, guys. Thanks so much.
Ooh, all right. Maybe you need to get those sticky hooks, you know?
Maybe.
They had those too. I know who called in. Very, very interesting because she has been dealing with this for a while. But yeah, it's kind of a weird thing.
Yeah. So it seems to me a little bit almost like the spirit that you kind of grew up with, right? Like maybe an older man who just kind of likes tinkering a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't sound super dangerous. It also sounds like maybe she just has real plastery walls and needs to do like an anchor. And you know, an anchor when you're nailing shit in. Oh, that's just my and that faulty wiring. I don't know. But yeah, this sounds. I don't know if sage is the kind of thing that scares this kind. I feel like that's a. If you're trying to scare a ghost away, I just don't feel like it's that scary to them.
Maybe you need something stronger. I don't know.
Well, I never thought of sage as something to scare them. I always thought it was something to like
clear their
make things at peace and make them feel like, okay, this is my time that I can move. I don't think Sage was ever meant to be scary.
But do you think that it's just supposed to make it like inhospitable?
I think it's supposed to be like cleansing that, like cleansing the bad energy is saging is like cleansing bad energy and bringing like a clean slate to your kind of your place. But I will say the falling off is annoying. Like all the stuff that falls off your walls, that's annoying. That's annoying as fuck. But like a man standing in your house that's not supposed to be there, that might cause me some pain, I mean, throwing a lot of things. Maybe she's subconsciously throwing things off the wall because she sees a man in her house, like she's got Ooh. Like that.
She's knocking them down.
Yeah, because that's what would happen to me. I would just like start developing superpowers of throwing things off the wall at a man.
Have I told you my things falling off the wall story?
No.
You want a really short cliff note version of it?
Yeah.
Sure. I know we're getting close to the end of the episode, but I was at an investigation with Brandon Alvis, one of our previous guests on the show.
Friend of the show.
And we were at this investigation at a cemetery, and wasn't Cemetery Park, wish it was. But we were at an investigation. I get home. I have work in the morning because I work at Starbucks at the time. And so I would investigate and then just not sleep. And then I would just go straight to work.
Not smart.
So yeah, you know, investigating. So I get done investigating. I decide, well, I can't go to bed because I have to work early morning. I'm just going to write up my report and I'm going to sit in my living room and do that. So I live in a little studio. So the studio is set up where when I'm sitting at my desk, I can see my kitchen. I can see my door to the house. I can see everything. So I'm sitting there and I'm typing everything up and I keep hearing like clinking, and it sounds like somebody is in my kitchen moving dishes around. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's really weird. Like that needs to stop. So I go into the kitchen. There's nothing in there. Right. So the way that the house is set up is once you're in the kitchen, if you turn 180, it's the bathroom, but it's a very long hallway and it's very dark and scary. Like there's nothing in the back. It's terrifying. So I go in the kitchen. I don't see anything. I look in the bathroom. I don't see anything. I go back to my desk. I start writing up the report. Once again, I start hearing that clinking noise and I'm like, do I have rats? Like, what is this? I get up again. Soon as I get up to the kitchen, no more noise. So I look down the bathroom again and then I just see, and again, lights are off. Bathroom is dark. I see something darker than the darkness in the bathroom, shaped like a man. And I was like, you need to get out of my house. And soon as I said that, something hit the wall so hard that I had jewelry holders on my bathroom wall. All of the jewelry came down at the same time. And I almost shit myself. I was so scared. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to work early. I don't want to be here anymore. And I literally left my house. I was like, no, I'm done. Like, I don't want to deal with this. So I went to Starbucks like an hour earlier than I needed to at like 4 a.m. I was like,
Well, hey, at least there was caffeine there. So my question is, what happened after?
Maria Quijada, who is going to be a guest on the show soon. I know that we have her booked for something. She is a psychic that I've worked with for many years. I don't believe most psychics. I think most psychics are fakes. And I can say that openly and genuinely. I really think that. And she is one that she's proven to me time and time again that I don't believe she is fake. And so I had her come over with another friend of ours. And I was like, hey, I'm really struggling. Whatever this thing is has been in my house. It had been like a week at this point. And I was like, it's terrifying me. Please come in and help. And so she came in and she cleansed the home. And unfortunately, we found out that there is, and take this as you will, I know it's a very weird thing to hear, but she discovered essentially a doppelganger in the house, that essentially my bad energy from being so negative and bitter with everything else in my life had created this whole, not created, energy only transfers. You cannot create energy, but it transferred this energy that manifested into this negative entity in the house. And it was just literally my bad energy and my bad attitude creating this other thing in the home. And so, yeah, I literally brought her in and she did a little cleanse of the house and yeah, it was kind of wild, but after
so literally that, you're bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard of doppelgangers? How that comes about, though? It's literally supposed to be your own negative energy manifesting.
Well, and it's similar to a a poltergeist, you know, with all the trapped energy.
But I thought poltergeists were other spirits, though.
There is a theory that poltergeists are, you know, like the reason why it would be at a school or something. Mm-hmm. It would be all that angst and all that anger and all that energy of those kids, or like why it's in like orphanages and stuff like that. It's like all
but
of
that's
their like
a literal doppelganger, and that's what makes it weird.
Yeah.
So, that's what she said it was. And honestly, like after we did everything and like really, really, really worked for it and towards getting whatever it was out of the house, it got better. I still had weird things happen for a while, but eventually it slowed down.
There you go. You got another movie right there.
Actually,
put me in the credits. Thank you.
Yeah. Was the man you saw? Is the physical manifestation of it the same size as you? Like, is the man big or is he like your size?
That's another problem. Now, the bathroom from where I was in the kitchen to the end of the length of the bathroom was probably 15, 17 feet distance. So what I saw wasn't necessarily a man. What I saw was just something that was darker than the actual darkness that was there. Wow. I could physically see something dark enough that looked humanoid, but I couldn't say what they looked like. I couldn't really say anything about that other than I saw that in the distance and was just like, okay, that's not supposed to be in the bathroom. That is somebody that shouldn't be here.
You know, it's as much as I'll say I don't believe in ghosts, that story I think is really interesting because we don't know what most of our brains do, right? Like we know like 10% of our brain does, but the brain is like just a mystery. It is a mystery box. We don't know what it is. And like, I super believe that we are doing a lot of things with our brains that we don't realize, and our brains are far more powerful than we realize. And that is like a really good example, like of a manifestation or something that they can do or something that can happen that we cannot explain with science yet, but we will get to a point where we can explain more, maybe not in our lifetimes, but where we can explain so much more about what they do.
Oh yeah. I feel like the body is the Faraday cage and the brain is just the energy and the spirits and all that. True. So, I mean, like I said, that was a whole thing for me. May not have been paranormal at all. You know, who's to say? I don't have any evidence that it happened. I have my experience. I have Maria's experience, but I don't have any physical evidence to say scientifically, yes, this was a spirit. This was a haunting. This was this or that. It's one of those weird things that with the paranormal, you know, luckily we have people like Brandon Alvis who are willing to really put science into it. But until then, it's a lot of personal things that we're all experiencing in our own ways, and being skeptical is so important and healthy in this time. And I am in a constant state of doubt of like, did that happen? Is this real? Am I just, again, the brain is an amazing thing. Like, is my brain just like really hyperactive to this stuff? You know, and that's one of the interesting things is I'm really excited to see where science goes with this, because I think they're going to be the ones to really tell us everything in the end.
And yeah, thank you for calling in and sharing that story. It's so interesting. I would flip out if there was a random man in my house, and I have. And she's going to write a great script about your story, Ashley.
Yeah.
I'm going to write the comedic parody of it.
And let's
do it. It's going to be great.
Can I be a character in both? I don't even have to play me.
Once you know me, you're in all of my stuff. I ask Anastasia, like I will call you and be like, can you please show up for like 3 hours today? I just need you.
Yes, and I will.
That's the weird thing about acting.
I will always support her. She is an amazing person and she's the nicest person. And she's giving me Zora, you know, my new kitty.
You can be in my stuff and I'll trade you for a cat.
Hey, there you go.
Which, and, by the way, you're all going to meet next episode. Congratulations, everybody. You're going to meet the new baby Zora.
And if you happen to write that doppelganger movie, judging by what people have told me over the past 15 plus years, just cast me and Breckenmeyer and you got your doppelganger set. So.
It's true.
I always get, hey, you know who you look like? Breckenmeyer. Who? Trust me, it's Breckenmeyer. Yeah.
Oh, you have a See, everyone always goes, you remind me of that mixed girl. I don't look like that person.
Which is sure. Nice. No, I actually auditioned. I actually auditioned for Brecken once for the pilot episode of the show called Men at Work that was on TBS that he wrote. And I didn't think he was going to be there. Sure enough, he's in the room reading people. I go in, I give him my headshot. He, no joke. He looks at my headshot, looks at me and goes, holy shit. I go, yeah, when I go to doppelganger parties, I never want to dress up. So I just tell people I'm you. And he's like, that's weird, but I appreciate it. I'm like, thank you, sir.
First of all, there's doppelganger part. We can't unload that right now.
We're an hour in.
Where can people find your podcast, and where can people follow you and support all your amazing stuff?
Just the normal places. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Bria Grant, and I my podcast is called Reading Glasses. It's on iTunes and all your podcatchers and all those things.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining us. This has been awesome. And if you want to call and leave your own paranormal experience, 818-660-6191. Be on the lookout for both of Bria Grant's films, Lucky and 12 Hour Shift. They will be available to the entire planet and hopefully interspatially. No, what's the word I'm looking for?
Intergalactically?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, my brain's done. It's time to say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends, and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.